Okay, let's quickly review Erevin Daf Pei Beis. Gufa, the Gemara returns to Rabbi Shimon Levi's statement that every time Rabbi Yehuda says Eimasayin Bameh in a Mishnah, it indicates that he's just explaining, not arguing on the opinion of the Chachamim. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and thinks Bameh indicates a machlokas. So Gemara questions whether Eimasayin really indicates an explanation in light of the fact that Rabbi Yehuda used the word Eimasayin to explain that gamblers are only possible edus if they don't have a regular job. And the Braisa quotes that the Chachamim hold that a gambler is possible even if he has another job. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda argues on the Chachamim. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Yehuda wasn't arguing on the Chachamim in the Mishnah. The Chachamim and the Braisa, who hold that a gambler is always possible edus, assume like Rabbi Tarfon that a person who would never wholeheartedly enter an agreement to gamble his money away, since he doesn't know if he will win. This would mean that gambling is a form of stealing and would disqualify even a person who is otherwise employed from being an aide. Hadron alech alone, zak the Mishnah. We now begin the next parak of Maseches Erevin. Ketzem mishtatvin b'tchumin. In order to set up an Erev Tchumin that anybody can use, a person should put out a barrel of food and anybody who plans on going to be to a Beis Havel or Beis Mishnah can use that Erev. As long as people decide that they want to use the Erev before Shabbos starts, they can rely on the Erev. Amar of Yosef, Ein Ma'arvin El Dvar Mitzvah. From the examples given in our Mishnah of using the Erev to go to a Shiva house or a wedding, we see that an Erev can only be made to help a person do a mitzvah. When the Mishnah says that a person cannot decide to use the Erev after Shabbos begins, it seems to be saying, Ein Breira, that we can't retroactively clarify that he wanted to use the Erev. However, even the opinion that says, Yesh Breira, that we do rely on retroactive clarification, can explain the Mishnah to mean, Hodi uhu katani, the person has to be informed of the presence of the Erev before Shabbos. He doesn't actually have to decide until after Shabbos starts, because Breira will allow the decision to work retroactively. Am Ravasi, katan ven sheish yotzei be'erevimo. Ravasi yells that a six-year-old child is automatically included in his mother's Erev. So the Gemara asks, according to the Braisa, only a child who is doesn't need his mother anymore, which we define in the context of a sukkah as a 4 or 5 year old who no longer needs his mother to help him after going to the bathroom, or he no longer wakes up calling for his mother in the middle of the night. Only such a child is not included in his mother's erev. A 6 year old but a younger child would be included in the mother's erev. So don't you see that a 6 year old is not included in the mother's erev? So how could Ravasi say that a 6 year old is included in the mother's erev? A 6 year old is past the age of needing his mother's help after going to the bathroom. So Rabbi Shubha Davidi suggests that a 6 year old is only included in his mother's erev when his father made a competing erev for him on the other side of town. We assume that given the choice, he prefers his mother's erev, but when there's no competing erev, a 6 year old is not included in his mother's erev. The Gemara rejects that answer based on an explicit price that even without a competing erev, a 6 year old is included in his mother's erev. So even though the price says that a child is considered to need his mother ad ben sheish until he is 6 years old, Ravasi holds that even a 6 year old needs his mother will understand that ad viad bechlal. The Braisa means to include a 6 year old as well. Those Amroim hold that by a sukkah, only a 4 or 5 year old is considered to need his mother, would say that when his father is available to help, he stops needing his mother at age 4 or 5. But if his father is not available, he still needs his mother until age 6. Tan Rabban, the Braisa says that we can make an erev for children who are katanim or non Jewish servants even without consulting them first, but not for an adult child, a Jewish slave, or a wife unless they give explicit approval first. If the Jewish servant, adult child, or wife knew about the Erev and didn't object, it's a valid Erev. We only disregard the Baal's Erev if they object, or they make their own separate Erev, which is the equivalent of an objection. Zak the Mishnah at the end of the Daf. Kamu ush yuro, mazon shtei sudos. The amount of food necessary for an Erev is 2 meals worth for each person. But Rameir Rabbi Yehuda disagree whether it's 2 Shabbos meals, Rabbi Yehuda Shita, or 2 weekday meals, Rameir Shita. Both opinions are trying to be lenient, but Rameir holds people eat more at Shabbos meals since the food is so good, and Rabbi Yehuda holds people eat less on Shabbos, so they'll have room for a third meal for Suda Shlishes. Rav and Rav Yosef both think that Rameir is correct, that people eat more at Shabbos meals, and this fits the common expression of Rav Chalibisi Meshchiach. There's always room in the stomach for delicious foods. There is a machlokas in the Mishnah about exactly how much bread must be in the Erev, but the Gemara concludes that Krovim Devrei and Leo Shavim, both opinions, are almost identical.